time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. More importantly, happy Martin Luther King Day. We just want to take a moment. I want to honor this leader, this amazing leader of our country. But I got to tell you what this man stood for and the leadership he brought to our nation at a critical time is just, I'm just so grateful that we're honoring him on this day, and once a year we honor him. But he obviously led the civil rights movement back at a very much of a time, and they accomplished a lot. But what's really amazing to me, folks, is how much is yet needed to be accomplished in racism. And maybe it's because I live in the South, I live here in Texas, and it's more evident here. I grew up in Minnesota, I just didn't even connect with racism back then. But, for example, our oldest daughter is biracial. We adopted her. We were there at birth, real close to both the white and the black family. They are family to us, parents on both sides that gave us this child. But yet, when I realized when our daughter was going through high school specifically, as soon as they found out, she's very Caucasian looking, but as soon as they found out that there's any black in there, you just watch certain people change. And it was astounding to me who it was that was representing and treating her differently or acting differently. And we have friends that have gone around adopted kids from all over Africa. So they're white families that are raising black kids and all over the nation, and we're running into this. So we have a lot to accomplish. So just because we honor Martin Luther King for what he accomplished, let's all be mindful of this. We continue to work on this and knock down these racial barriers and be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. You got a problem with racism? Sorry about that. That's something I hope you can work on. But we're grateful for the leaders that have led the way to get us to where we're at today. And hopefully there'll be a bright, shining example for where we want to get to. So, happy Martin Luther King Day. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're grateful to have you as our listener. Big you out there who has shared and made this podcast so well-known and popular. Our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Still now we're dealing with another week of shutdown, of the federal government shutdown. Not a lot of the data is not coming out. That's going to be real interesting. The ramification back to the mortgage industry is starting to show up in a much bigger way. I'm sure we're going to get some comment from Alice on that. But there's some issues going on that's really significant. We've got back today, by popular demand, we had Pat Sherlock on December 3rd. Go back and listen to that podcast. Really good episode talking about mortgage origination sales strategies for 2019. We had so many questions and comments come in that we've invited her back to the podcast today. So Pat Sherlock, the founder and president of QFS Sales Solutions. Before we get started in today's podcast, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. The Mortgage Bankers Association of America, very grateful to them. We got Rob Van Rapport's update here in just a minute. Also, Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software, data, and analytics solutions. Their data and analytics, folks, you got to get on the phone with Black Knight and find out what that's all about. There's more going on in that area. It's going to be more critical to your success. Understand, just even just open up in your mind to what could happen with data and analytics. If you don't, someone else will be moving on that data and analytics, and you'll be wondering, why did they get such a strategic advantage? So check out Black Knight. Also, Open Mortgage, leading buyer of reverse mortgage and loans, and the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Got Scott Gordon up here in just a few minutes. Also, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these are mortgage co-ops creating competitive advantages for both lenders and their vendor members. Both of these organizations have their conferences coming up here in Austin, Texas. Also, a special shout out to Velma, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform. Grateful for our relationship with them. And Brent Emler, great guy to have. You know, if you have a team, you want to get benefits of the team. You got someone like Velma, you get Brent Emler, brilliant guy in how to market and get your message out. He studies it. He's really good at it. Also, Knowledge Coop, providing an easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. Can't wait to hear more about that. Alice is getting some exposure to it here recently. And I really respect these guys because they're passionate about getting the message out and doing so on a really, I think, a pretty innovative platform. Pretty innovative. It's very innovative. And it, best of all, is how they produce their videos and training stuff. Make it really a lot of fun. I think Ken Perry, who owns that thing, is the primary, the president. She goes to the movie business. He is a really good producer of videos. Also, I want to finally say a special thank you to Alice, to Andy, to Alan. We're not sure if he's going to be able to make it here today. Hopefully he will. And Joe Farr for their contributions to the podcast each and every week. Let's take a moment and run out to Rob Van Raphorst and hear what he has to say with the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The CFPB has released their anticipated lookbacks or formal assessment of the impact of the ability to repay / qualified mortgage rule and the mortgage servicing rule. Dodd-Frank requires these lookbacks to be released by the Bureau for all significant rulemakings within 5 years of the rule's effective date. MBA has prepared a comprehensive survey of the Bureau's conclusions for both the ATR/QM rule and the servicing rule. It can be found on MBA.org. While the Bureau does not make concrete recommendations for changes to either rule in these assessments, their conclusions about impacts will provide a useful starting point for discussions with the Bureau on how these rules can be improved or the rulemaking process can work better in the future. Also last week, mortgage applications rose to their strongest level in years, with purchase applications rising to their highest level since 2010 and refinance applications up to their highest level since last spring. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Good job, Rob. Appreciate you taking the time to record that and making it available to our listeners. Appreciate our partnership with the MBA. Good job. Really appreciate that. Be sure to check out the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference. It's coming up here in a couple weeks in San Francisco. I was going, and then unfortunately got called to New York. I got a very important meeting that's going on there, so I'm not going to be there. Missed that opportunity. A lot of people are asking me, what conferences are you speaking at, Dave? I kind of backed down on the conference speaking. I did so much of it last year, and the good thing is I thoroughly enjoy it. But I've got so much business going on right now, we got to stay focused on mission number one, transforming the mortgage industry. And another tool that you can use to help transform the industry is the digital business card. Check it out at our website, Lickin' on Lending. I believe it's up in the upper right-hand corner. Click on that, watch a video on that. But it's really a powerful way in which you can share more than just your telephone number, your email address, and your company name and website and some blah, 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 kind of boring stuff. Or you get this digital business card, and you can start sharing so much more information. The best part, when someone shares your card, you get to be notified, hey, they just shared your card, and you can follow up. Hey, is there anything I need to do on that? You know, if that's creepy to you, kind of get over it, because guess what? That's going on. It's called social media. It's alive and well. It's powerful, and it works. I love it. I'm using it. So grateful. Check it out. Digital business card. Let's get over to Les Parker with the macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by LoanLogic. Take on ease. Take ease on. Juice is gone in a year or two. Resistance is futile as China tries to copy the G4's loose monetary policy to stop its economic slide. Is quantitative easing now made in China? It's futile, but it feels good trying. How long, with a sugar high of monetary easing and liquidity injection, lasts? If the Fed is any guide, not long. Who wins from China's folly? The dollar, so it yells, take ease on. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I love that voice. What a talented musician. You know, Andy's a drummer, so I hear Andy in the background. I hear those high voices. I hear Alice singing in the background and me trying to join in on that. I was a vocal major. You guys know that? Yeah. How did I get in the mortgage business? That's a whole other story we'll share sometime. But anyway, Joe Farr can't be here today, but he called in earlier this morning to record a segment. So without further ado, Joe Farr, what do you have for us?
Hey, morning, Dave. Calling in today because the markets are closed for MLK Day. did want to let you know a couple things about what's going on today in other places. In Davos, the IMF today announced a reduction of 0.2% in their estimate of global growth for 2019. They cited slowing growth in Germany and Turkey and the trade war with China as a result of that. And China announced that its growth for 2018 was only 6.6%. Now, that's the slowest growth they have had since 1990. And the combination of those two events, even though the markets are closed, caused the stock futures here in the U.S. to fall a bit. And so, might look for an open tomorrow with stocks lower and maybe mortgage-backed security prices higher. So we'll see. Looking at last week, Dave, mortgage rates rose just a little bit last week. It was slow each day. Rates rose a little bit. And for the week, the increase was about 6 basis points. As has been the case for the last several weeks, it coincided with improvement in the stock market because it, too, improved a little bit just about every day. Now, the primary driver was a possible break in the trade war with China. Chinese officials have offered to buy more farm and agricultural products from the U.S., and they've also agreed to allow firms greater access to their markets. So, good positive things there. On China, they announced the additional spending that they would expect would just about wipe out the U.S. trade deficit within 6 years. In addition, no advance was made in one of the key subjects. One of the bigger issues is the theft of intellectual property, and there was no discussion about that in what was announced during the week. In Brexit, Theresa May's Brexit plan was voted down by the House of Commons by a huge margin. She did survive her no-confidence vote, which was a good thing. Both of those two events were expected, so it caused little reaction in the market. But it leaves open the big questions of how will Great Britain get to a plan to leave the Union, or will they get to the end of the time and just leave? There's a lot left to be worked out in that regard. Last week, the economic data that was released was mixed and caused little reaction. Core PPI was well below expectations. Home builders felt better than expected, but unfortunately consumers seemed to feel a lot less optimistic. Consumer sentiment fell to the lowest level basically since President Trump was elected. And then concerns about the economic slowdown, tightening by the Fed, and the trade war with China were all cited as a cause for the drop in consumer sentiment. Now, looking at this week, we have a pretty light week for economic data, and because of the shutdown, it's going to be even lighter than it would have been otherwise. Neither durable orders nor new home sales are expected to be released due to the shutdown. Existing home sales will be released. They'll come out on Tuesday. It's expected to show that contracts signed in December to buy previously owned homes fell from November, but by a pretty small margin, so it's not a big issue. During the week, there will be an ECB meeting on Thursday. With all they have going on with Brexit and the slowing economies, it might be interesting to hear what they choose to do. Additional details about the trade war with China may come out. Same true about negotiations on the shutdown of the government as well as the Brexit negotiations to produce a plan to leave the Union. So a lot of non-economic things to pay attention to this week, not a lot of economic events, but good to have information in a timely manner and be able to use it to your advantage. So thanks, Dave.
Good job, Joe. Yeah, good shout out to our producer, program director, Paul. Joe couldn't make it and called him right at the last minute, so somehow our good friend Paul managed to get that put together and up on the switchboard for us to share. So appreciate that very much, Paul. Before we hear from Alice Alvey with her legislative update, let's listen to Scott Gordon talk about the science of sales. Scott?
Stories help customers relax and listen. They're memorable. They establish trust, and most importantly, they speak to the part of the brain where decisions are made. We make subconscious, emotional, and sometimes irrational decisions with one part of our brain. Then we justify those decisions with another. Stories provide depth and context to facts, which leads people to making secure and informed decisions. One poll found 30% of strangers are trustworthy. But when you asked what percentage of people you know, the median answer jumped to 70%. Telling a story is the most effective way to make someone feel like they know you. Stories provide glimpses into your world and invite your customers to tell you their stories. This cements trust between the parties, and once you have a customer's trust, you've usually got their business. A 2013 study found that only 1 in 5 sales calls provides enough stories to satisfy the customer. So why tell a story? Because it works. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Good job, Scott. Love that. Love that segment. The science of sales. You know, I should give one of his people, they got a great marketing team over there at Open Mortgage. I love those guys. I love what they do. Zeb is the guy that does a lot of the research on some of that stuff. And then they create the topic, and then he and Scott and Tana, who heads up the marketing team there, is it's just a great group of people. I love this stuff, that segment. So getting a lot of positive feedback on it. And some of the key feedback that gets texted to me during the podcast, it's awesome. If you want to text me during the podcast anytime, text me at 512-632-2900, 512-632-2900. We always try to integrate our listeners' feedback into the podcast live, and if you put your name to it, we'll even give you a shout out on the air. Are we on the air or on the internet? I think we're more on the internet. That's what it is. Anyway, using radio talk. Alice, good to have you with us. So how cold is it up there anyway today?
It is very cold. We got, we're calling it Snowmageddon up here.
Snowmageddon. That's so funny. That's so funny.
We had several rounds of snow.
Oh, I grew up in Minnesota. I feel your pain. I'm down here in Texas. We feel it's too cold when it's, 40 degrees. So Andy and I suffer from a much warmer cold temperatures. But anyway, it's good to have you here. Appreciate you dialing in on this holiday day. So what you got for a legislative update there, my friend?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I always like to honor Martin Luther King Day with a discussion on fair lending. And just, over time, I think one of the toughest areas we've had to manage as lenders is just this concept of disparate impact and disparate impact theory to prove violations of the Equal Credit Opportunity Act or, within fair lending laws. And that challenge of always, am I treating people differently based on a protected class? And how do I find out, be proactive about that ahead of time to make sure that it doesn't happen? Because it's kind of if I don't treat people the same, a lot of times I don't have data until I've passed that point, right? I'm looking at water that's already over the fall, so to speak. So as lenders, it's been a challenge to monitor it. And under the CFPB, which we get to use that now, I'm so excited that Kathy Craninger has helped us get back to just CFPB again. We've done something already. What was that, Mick Mulvaney? Anyway, we've had 3 directors now in 3 years. So for fair lending, each one of them comes in and sets their own agenda. So CFPB did publish their report in December of 2018. Not a lot of revelation in it because it's published under Mulvaney, and then Kathy Craninger coming in will, she said, need to go study, get the briefings from her staff, and then she'll come out with what the next steps might be in that area. So just a heads up for everybody that, you're having to go with old information still as we wait for new information from the new director. The second thing I want to make sure we just touch base on is VA's interim final rule that will institute the new form. So we have a new form we have to give our veterans to make sure that they understand the terms of a cash out refinance. It's going to include we have to have a net tangible benefit test, and we have to have a recoupment test. And all that's supposed to go into effect February 15th. And this is case numbers that you pull from VA on February 15th. However, with the government shutdown, I'm not sure if we'll get a little leeway because the Federal Register website isn't really being monitored right now. So technically, you could be posting a comment, all that still functions, but no one's looking at it, right? Can we possibly use this as a way to get ourselves an extension? I don't know. I guess for now, we're all going to have to say it's all hands on deck to still make sure we're moving forward with it and not assuming that this will be any reprieve to get the date moved. I haven't found a talking to people about, you know, what are the LOS providers doing? This is not a standard VA form. So we're still waiting for, you know, some LOS providers to give us examples. Certainly as an industry, we would love to have a general example from the NVA. If anybody's listening, I know they're closed today, so we'll have to reach out to them too, because it really would help us if we could get a blessing from VA on a version, and then we can all be similar out there to consumers. It would really be better for the consumer if we were consistent. So that's really where we're at today, Dave, on two things
good
that are
stuff.
In the news.
Good things in the news. Appreciate you, Alice, for being here on a holiday. So are you going to go out and make snowman or something? You've lived in this stuff. You're way past snowman days.
No, but, we're actually trying to dig a car out of a ditch right now. Got it. Not one of ours, but anyway.
Your husband has got that to do. Alice, funny. Yeah. Well, it's a different climate. It's up there for it's snowy, and when you get that much snow, yeah, it's a mess. So anyway,
yeah,
good to have you on, though. You warm everyone's hearts with your presentation or your segment. So thanks, Alice. Appreciate it so much. Someone just texted me. Are you going to any conferences? Are you speaking any conferences? Why? If I didn't, you got some fans out there that want to hear you speak. You got any conference you're going to be speaking at this year?
No, I really have stepped down a little bit from that. I do speak at an education event that's held at the NVA National. I haven't really pursued that with everything we have going on at Union Home, right? So my first priority is all the initiatives we have going on at the company. So, that's not
good.
The moment.
Well, you've got, I know, I get the same thing. You're not speaking as much. And so, but you're loved and missed out there. You got some fans. I just had a text message come in about that. So how about that? People want you. Get you back out there. Come on, we'll talk to Cosgrove about freeing you up and getting some budget to get you out there back on the platform. But I understand that you guys are growing and doing really, really well. So kudos to Union Home Mortgage, Bill Cosgrove, and the whole team. Love it. Speaking about education, we need to talk about our good friends at KnowledgeCoop. They have a platform, an LMS, or a learning management system platform, that's powered by a smart digital platform.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry, powered by a smart digital platform.
Good job. Smart digital platform, and it is really good training, and there's a lot of material up there that you could just go get a flavor for. So check it out, knowledgecoop.com, knowledgecoop.com. Alan Pollock could not be here today. He's in a meeting. He was texting me like crazy. I'm trying to get out of this meeting. We got a big planning meeting going on. I can't miss it. So he would love to be here, but he sends his greetings to all of you. So the weekly tech update is one of those report that he gives us. It's getting to be one of the more popular segments we're getting. A lot of positive feedback on it. I'm hearing about it more and more about that. And last week's podcast, so what I'm going to tell you to do is go back and listen to the last week's podcast and some of those. By the way, all the segments, each one of these, so let's say you want someone, I want to go listen to the tech segment, or I want to listen to Alice's legislative update. You can go on our website. Of course, you want to listen to Andy Shells. I mean, all of us out there. But you could go under each one of them. They have their own page on our website. You can click and just listen to them one after another so you can kind of get caught up. Several people have said that's what they're doing with Alan's, and they're finding it very, very helpful. And some of his quirky humor sometimes is there to get a lot of good feedback on that. So anyway, miss you, Alan. Have a great day, and I look forward to it. But we do have Andy Shell in the house. As I always say, the doctor is in the house with his lab coat. You know what, Andy? I'm one of the things that came in after the last week's broadcast is I'd love to get Andy's perspective on the number of companies that are profitable. We're hearing the MBA statistics, as much as 60% of companies into IMBs, at least, are not profitable. And, you know, they're wanting your perspective on that. What does this mean that, you know, that we're going to just see a lot of companies going out of business?
Well, that's a loaded question. The companies who have adapted and have, like, for example, done some of the stuff Pat's going to talk about today, or done the stuff that I've been talking about in shrink, manage,
yeah,
or the stuff that you've been talking about of manage sales, hold expectations, make people do their job, you know, not that you would say it that way. Those people are doing okay. They might not be hitting a home run. It might not be the best year or the best month,
that's
especially
right
now. But no, there's a number of companies that I work with, independent mortgage companies, who are doing, they're not doing great, but they're doing okay. They're surviving, and they're actually adding some offices, which creates a whole other challenge, because now you've got growth challenges with cash flow limitations. But no, it's not all doom and gloom out there. And those that are being proactive, not reactive, those that are planning and looking forward, those that are doing the things that we've been talking about all year on the show here, are doing better, doing okay,
yep,
doing not great, but not dead and not
terrible.
Gonna
yeah,
die.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and to that end, one of the things that I like to talk about is cash flow forecasting. Now,
one of my favorites.
So put a bookmark on that for 30 seconds. It's year-end. Accounting's not done. The audit's being done. The year-end financials are being done. They're starting to get ready with W-2s and 1099s and 1098s. And there's just a ton of stuff that accounting's doing right now. So it's not over with yet. It's actually probably not going to be all the way over until the end of March. So cut your accounting team a break. They're super, super busy. Now, about cash flow.
Every time you say that, I usually always get a text message, tell Andy Schell how much we appreciate that. It's so true.
Very good. Anyway, sorry,
yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep on going, man.
No, accounting is busy right now. So cash flow forecasting, you know, I talk to business owners and I say to them, we need to anticipate your cash flow demand in April and in July and next week. And they go, well, you know, this is mortgage banking. You can't predict the future. You have to just wing it because you can't know what the next deal's going to be. And to that I say, have you ever been able to accurately predict a Christmas present? And they go, well, yeah, my Aunt Jenny always gets me a pair of socks. So you look backwards at past behavior, and you can identify future activity. Maybe it's not perfectly, but you can get close. And when business owners tell me that I almost got it in February, I say, well, what happened last February? And they'll say, well, we did X and Y. I said, okay, what's changed since then? Well, the market's down 20%. I said, okay. So now then, how about let's anticipate February to be last year less 20%? And they go, oh, okay, that might work. I said, how's the margin doing? Is margin in January going to be different in February? Well, no, probably not. So, okay, great. Now we can predict revenue. I said, what about expenses? Are you going to cut a bunch of stuff? What's changing from January to February on expenses? Well, not much. I said, great. We just forecasted February. And if you're going to lose money, then you got to do something about it. And then you do the same thing for March, April, May, June, July. And suddenly you got a six-month cash flow forecast. And the farther out you go, the less predictive, the less accurate the prediction is. But it's still a plan. It's a tool we use to manage our business. The closer we get to tomorrow, the more accurate we'll be. And then it kind of degrades after that. But, you know, this is a tough time of the year. We've got to be planning. We've got to be looking at what do we have, what are we going to have. We've got to count the nuts we as squirrels store away starting in last September, see how many we have left. Do we have enough to make it to March or April or June, May or June? And if we don't, then what? Well, so now it's time for capital call or capital raise. And anytime you even think about that, you go to some rich person and say your rich uncle and say, hey, I need, or your rich aunt, and you say, hey, I need to borrow $300,000 for my business. The first thing they're going to say is, aside from, hell no, I'm not going to lend to my family. The second thing they're going to say is, when am I going to get paid back? How do I know I'm going to get paid back? What's your business plan to show me that you're going to have cash flow in 6 months to be able to pay me back this money I lent you? So you got to have a plan. No matter what you're going to do, no matter what happens, you got to have a plan. You got to have a cash flow forecast. And I remain astounded and disappointed at the volume of independent mortgage banks who do not have a cash flow forecast. It's just very surprising.
Yeah.
So we got to change that. I'm on a mission for 2019. One of my New Year's resolutions is Everybody gets a cash flow forecast, even if it's just basic in Excel. That's good enough for a place to start. There's some amazing software out there that we'll talk about later that can help with this. But for now, let's start talking about cash flow forecasting.
Good. I agree.
That's my thought.
It is one of my favorite topics, and it's one of the ones that most people go, I want to get into servicing. I want to go do become Ginnie Mae approved and do this. And they go, like, you don't even have a clue. They don't even have the questions to ask, much less the answers. They got to get a hold of a guy like you, Andy Schell. Okay, appreciate you being here with us. And the best way
for people
to reach you is andy@mbs-team.com, right?
That's it. Still works.
Awesome. Folks, we're going to be right back with a word from one of our sponsors, Black Knight, and then we'll be back with Pat Sherlock.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Good job. Appreciate our sponsors, all of them, and Black Knight does a great job, and it's one of the leaders in our industry, and I call them one of the quiet leaders because they are significant in their presence in the marketplace. Talking about someone else who's significant with their presence in the marketplace is Pat Sherlock, our good friend Pat Sherlock. Pat, good to have you back. So much fun.
Oh, Dave, thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of response from when you were on back on December 3rd. It was really good response. There's so many things we want to get into, but just again, just so people can get teased everybody a lot, you consult us on production to some of the top mortgage companies in the nation. Again, I encourage people can get a hold of you. So we're going to start off this time by saying, how can people get a hold of you, Pat?
Well, they certainly can go to my website, which is patsherlock.com, and certainly my email is psherlock@qfsconsulting.com. Love to hear from them.
Yeah, several people ask, what does QFS stand for?
Quality Financial Services.
Quality Financial Services. That's good. Well, let's get out and start talking about some things that kind of came up. And so I want to start off, according to LMA's recent research, home buyers, 92% of home buyers started their search for a home online. We're certainly seeing a lot of that. But what does that mean for mortgage lenders and originators from your perspective?
Well, it's a great question, and certainly I think the most important point is that just 5 years ago, that percentage was at 50%, so it has dramatically changed. And from the big picture of production, that has a tremendous impact to not just the lenders, but certainly how originators source their business. So, again, I think sometimes what you see, and I'm sure, David, you see this too, that there's a resistance or it's almost considered a fad, when the fact of the matter is that origination today has to have a strong component of social selling. And when you look at the fact that the consumer's buyer's journey, what's happening really is that they're starting to look for a home, and this could be a six-month process, but you as a lender and you as an originator don't know they're looking. And so that's a big change from the past, where when a customer was interested in a housing and a mortgage that you actually knew and it was a finite process. Well, today that's not the case. And I see so often, not just at the lender's level, but also at the originator's level, this hesitation about using social selling. And that obviously, from my viewpoint, is a really big mistake.
Yeah, it is. And you consult some of the largest lenders in the nation, some big, big ones, and some that have had a very much of a traditional model. What are you seeing as far as changes in strategy?
Well, that is another great question that, frankly, and maybe this dovetails into what Andy was talking about, I see pretty much still distributed retail is the primary focus on the retail side. Certainly on the bank side,
consumer direct is something they're familiar with and is something that they're actually deploying. But if you look at it in the big picture, and David, I know that you see this every day too, is that when you look at what has really changed in market share performance numbers, you look at Quicken and you look at United Wholesale on the third party side, again, they're centralized shops basically, and they
right.
have really captured market share really from everyone in every market in the country. So I would argue that mortgage bankers really have really still stayed with a distributed retail structure in a world that's moving to 24/7 access, and can you deliver that in a local format that really is really run by a manager who it may not be responsive to the marketplace as they should be. So to answer your question, certainly lenders talk about it. I have to tell you that. They talk a lot about it.
That's the problem. A lot
too.
Of people talk about it. They talk about more things than they actually do. It's all talking. Nothing's happening.
It's all talking. Yeah, but I think really, and what I would say to everyone on the listening today, is that it's all about staying relevant in today's really much different world. Customers expect instant access when they raise their hand. And the problem
yeah.
is that this isn't on the originator's, you know, 9 to 6 time frame. This could be at 12 o'clock at night. And so I think from a structure standpoint, what I see one of the biggest, you know, really reasons why people don't move forward into another structure is that, you know, they certainly have had, they've been successful in the past. They certainly have a legacy of originators that are with them, and moving into something else, they consider that threatening. They consider that there's almost the thinking that, you know, that they have time to make this change. My argument today would be is that you do not have time to make this change. I think there's two trends in mortgage banking that are clear. One of them is certainly the technology component and the speed to close. That's a given. But likewise, and certainly you get lenders that will say they understand they need to fix the operational component of the back office. But the other side of it is the human interface is still required. Even in that same survey that Ellie Mae did, when they asked what was the top two priorities from the borrower's standpoint that would have helped in the mortgage process, one was a speed to close and making the process easier. I think every lender in the United States understands that they need to do that. But they also said that they wanted to have access to a knowledgeable, credible loan originator, someone that is the human interface. So that part hasn't gone away. In fact, if
right.
anything, I believe that part's really the biggest part that hasn't been addressed by lenders. Andy mentioned, and you mentioned in the beginning of, you know, the show today, that, you know, 60% of the lenders, it's not 60% of the lenders, it's 60% of the sales staffs are unprofitable because of basically low production numbers. I think lenders need to get more serious about addressing who can sell and who can't sell. I mean, this is the number one topic, and I know when you're saying who, that you know that this is what you run across.
Yeah.
I see it every day. I mean, I'm at lenders down at the originator level performing sales audits.
So true.
And the number, the percentage of originators that do not prospect in today's world using today's skill sets is just phenomenal. And that's leading to why they're not really producing and certainly why they're having so much trouble. So we can fix the back office, which actually is certainly obviously a key priority. But the other side that I think lenders need to really address is this issue about the quality of the originator. And again, it's a quality issue that's just not really composed of is the person experience, but is more along the lines of, does that person know how to generate a personal brand awareness from themselves? So they're active on social media. I have to tell you, David, but when I go into sales organizations, how many originators don't even have a LinkedIn profile today?
Isn't that amazing?
Like,
are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm serious. And when you look
I know it.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And when you look at it and you look at the realtors on the other side, let's flip to the referral sources. The referral sources who are even older, when you think about it, in the real estate agent world, they are over 80% of them are active on Facebook and LinkedIn. Do I see them on the originator side? No, I do not.
Yep.
And yep. It's not a lender holding you back issue. Sometimes it can be, but most of the times it is because, well, we haven't had to do it. I really don't think about it. And in other words, we have created this problem of why we have 60% originators in any given sales organization who really are not effective because their skill set is old. And that's that's the fundamental problem. And so I think it's two-pronged. And so if I was to say as solution sets to the lenders listening today is certainly you have to right size and look at your sales staff from who can sell and who maybe doesn't have the current knowledge but is willing to learn. For those that aren't willing to learn, I think you have a pretty easy decision on what needs to happen to them. And again, this is, to me...
It ain't good. It's not good.
It's not good.
Hey, I want to get over to Andy Shelley. Your thoughts.
Oh, great. Thanks, Dave. Hey, Pat, thanks for enduring this. It's always a pleasure. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking back, and Dave and I have talked about the movie Glengarry Glen Ross over the years, and it's got so much sales tactic in it. But I actually kind of glanced at the movie a couple of weeks ago, and it's old. It's so old that the ABC strategy, always be closing, is, well, how do you get in front of the customer? And so if there's this true tectonic shift in who you are and how you present yourself, it's not just having a sales script. It's actually, you know, having the social presence and the social media, and then it's how do you do that well? So I have a twofold question, and they're kind of connected, but one is, and we've talked to some other folks about this, how do you build that presence? How do you figure out how to have a successful LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, presence? So what's the right version of what that looks like? And then how do you get people to accept that their old way is gone and the new way is here?
Well, why don't we start with that question first?
We're chuckling because that is so true.
That is the key issue. And that leads back to what I said, that from a lender standpoint, I would make it as a priority. This is the best time to really start to look at, do you have the right sales force to match to what's really being demanded today? And so as a trainer and has been involved with analysis of what mortgage originators need to have from a personality component, I can tell you that, again, the facts will show is that if the person refuses to adapt to new training efforts to improve their skill sets, you've learned everything you need to about that person, and that's someone that's not going to survive. Because the next line of comment that type of person makes is, well, our pricing isn't any good. I mean, I can go through the litany of what excuses these individuals are really making, but the primary point to remember is that the originator that we're hiring has to essentially kind of have that motivation and self-discipline to adapt to today's customer. And it's not an age issue. It's really a mindset issue. And so if they do not have it, you cannot force them to adapt to it. I would tell you that that's someone that doesn't fit with what we need to have in the mortgage world. No question that that really is a big issue. And to your other question, which is really a good point that I see so much when I'm in the field, is that originators, they understand the lender's brand, but they don't understand their responsibility with the personal building of their own brand. And that is the function of them using and connecting. So really, when you take the movie you're talking about, which is famous for Always Be Closing, I would tell you the mantra today should be always be connecting. And that is the responsibility.
That's great.
Yeah, that is the responsibility of the originator. And I think so often lenders are letting the originator who is refusing to do that to still stay on board because they might have a couple referral sources left. But the game plan going future-wise is that person isn't really going to adapt. So if they think we're having so many changes now, they haven't seen anything. Because I think in the big picture, and Dave, I'd love to hear your thoughts, in the big picture, I think within 5 years from now that we are going to have all the back office component, all of the really slotting of the loan gyrations that originators do, that is all going to be done by artificial intelligence. It's clear that they can do it better than at the loan officer level. So I do think we're at a real tipping point. It's a tipping point because it's more than just, okay, we need to get technology. I think every lender is trying to do that. But I really don't think they're looking at, do we have the right personnel for what we need in this world of always being connecting, always being contributing. In other words, it's a much different world than when you and I started in mortgage banking, which was not yesterday.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Two seconds real quick, Dave.
Yeah.
So I just want the audience to know that was Pat's response to always be connecting. That was not scripted. That wasn't a setup. She came up with that off the top of her head. That is so amazing.
Brilliant
comment. That's great. I love it. Thanks, Pat.
I think it's so true, and I'm amazed at the number of people, executives in mortgage industry, do not have a LinkedIn profile and connecting with people. Regarding how Andy's question was a great question, is how to do it. I ended up going outside and hiring someone. I ended up going to a guy that did a really good job. He looked at my profile. It cost me $250. He was worth every dollar of it. He went through it and organized it. There are whole groups of people, an industry out there that's going around how to develop a compelling profile that tells your story, and even in your address line. He changed my name. It's still connected to LinkedIn to David Licken, but he changed it so to mortgage consultant. So when people are looking for, searching for certain terms, they are actually finding it in the term. So there's a lot of, I would say, science, or it's not just throw some stuff up there. You got to be very, very intelligent about it. So good stuff on that. But and regarding the operational background, I'll tell you, we work with Flat World, and we also work with People's Processing, or two outsourcing companies that we work with a lot. And so I think it's going to be outsourcing, and we're seeing artificial intelligence, everything that's related to technology coming in. I want to toss the mic over to Alice Alvey, who you know so well.
Oh, I do.
And get some perspective from you, Alice. What questions do you have for Pat?
Well, it's been really interesting, and I love to always be connecting and always be contributing. So there you go,
yes.
Pat. It's the buzzword for 2019, and you said it.
yes.
I think the question I have as I listen to this, you know loan officers really, really well, right? You know their DNA.
Sure.
And I think a lot of them, it's not that they don't want to. It's like you said earlier, they don't have the skill. And when you say it's when it comes to brand building, you know, that they see other LOs who are out there, you know, with articles and words of wisdom, and maybe they're doing off-the-shelf marketing, right? Sending out the same article as everybody else. But it takes marketing skills and the ability to relate at a whole different level than the way they would if it was face-to-face. So how does those who want to get around that curve really find the way to do that? You know, is that trainable? Are they trainable?
Well, I mean, I actually train a lot in that area under the umbrella of prospecting. And again, prospecting is changing dramatically from the old days. And so what I would define prospecting today for originators is personal brand awareness. And that is really, you know, a strategy that's just more than having a LinkedIn profile. It is using all the tools that are available for them. I think what I see, Alice, most of the time at companies is that your better originators recognize that this is the new world and will make the changes because, again, I train. And so I see this on a face-to-face level. Then we'll have other originators that want the company to do it, don't really want to make any investment. I mean, Dave just mentioned that he spent $250. Well, there's some originators that won't spend a nickel. And so when you recognize that this is a new world and your marketing / prospecting needs to change, you won't be in the game. Certainly, the lender can provide it through training initiatives, but there are people, obviously, that will not adapt to it, won't do the work involved with it. And so I think, again, that's why I said as a lender initiative for 2019 that I think we have to look at not just only who can sell today, which we know from Strathmore is, you know, 40% of the originators do 80% of the volume, but we also have to ask the question, you know, who's willing to learn? And I think that as a whole, what I would call the C players are people with inconsistent performance. Those people have already telegraphed they're not wanting to learn. It's the B performers that the lender really has to nick, that people that are not your superstars and your stars, but the people in that next group that do enough where you break even on them, those people, you really have to recognize and make the hard decisions on, are they going to adapt to this new world of personal brand awareness that they have to build themselves? Again, I think what I see too often is that this type of originator is wanting the lender to do everything and is not really to recognize that they're going to have to learn something new and something different. And the odd part about it, Alice, and certainly I'm sure you see this, is that they're on these tools that they need to be using personally. They're just not using them for business. For instance, Facebook Business. All right. Everybody's on Facebook. When I was at a conference and I asked everybody how many looked at their Facebook feed this morning, everybody raised their hand. Then the next question is that how many use Facebook Business for your own origination efforts? Nobody. And again, these tools have been out there. I think it's more of an issue of, again, originators recognizing that this is a different marketplace. If you're wanting to tap into first-time home buyers, if you're wanting to do origination that is effective, you have to get earlier in this cycle, and that means you have to be using social media. No question about it. Has to be a priority. And there's some originators that just positively will refuse to do it, and even if you provided training, they will not do it. Well, I think those originators are not really a match for what we need as originators today. So I do think the job of origination is going to change dramatically, because I think our past effort of looking at slotting loans to a person and looking for exceptions, you can have artificial intelligence do that today. And actually, one of my customers is doing that. They really have done away with their whole back office, because they can use artificial intelligence to really slot and do all the loan. So again, I just think it's all changing, and I think that we worry too much about those that refuse to adapt and recognize we better find people that will adapt and are willing to learn.
That's a good point. That is a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Adapt or die. Adapt or die.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I want to go into consumer demand. This 24/7 thing, it's a little disconcerting for those of us that struggle with a work-life balance. So do you think a distributed retail model can serve and cover them? Or, well, I mean, how do you meet the 24/7 thing? I'm working with that a little bit and relate to it because I'm coaching, doing more executive coaching, and I'm coaching people. And when you're coaching someone, you're in their life in a big way. And that I'm experiencing, the work-life boundary balance of maintaining certain hours, it just goes out the window. And I'm happy to do it because I'm making a difference. But it's, how do you do that on the retail side of mortgage lending?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, that I think that distributed retail, to me, is obviously our traditional method of origination. And I think we will have that going forward. But I think the branches going forward are going to be your better performing branches. So those people, they will definitely continue to be successful, because they basically have a model that they have replicated and are successful with. And that tends to also involve that they're also very active with social media, by the way. So then we're talking about the 60% people. And these are the people that are your B players. And again, I think the rise of Quicken, the rise of United Mortgage Wholesale tells you that a centralized approach has to be part of a lender's plan for this issue of sliding different workforces, in other words, to be available to when the customer is wanting to contact you and raise their hand. So I don't think there's any question. When you actually look at the total volume of production that's being done through a call center and distributed retail, you know, it's clear if you added Quicken's numbers back, which is essentially a private company, it's getting more and more. And for the reason that it matches to the consumer, when they want to talk to you, you have to be available. You can't be working just regular hours. And you can't compensate.
Can I just make a suggestion? One thing I recently did, I have two assistants that live in the Philippines. It's a husband and wife team. I've hired them full time. They're wonderful people, Neil and Yanni.
And one of the things for those that are listening, you may want to look at outsourcing. That's what I'm doing. I have no, I don't have to deal with the demands. They actually work our schedule, so they're working graveyard shift in the Philippines. They do an amazing job. But here's where you can have people. You can have people in different time zones. Go to Upwork and start retaining some support people. Now, I always have Alice's voice in the background. What's the problem with compliance? Is there something going on with compliance? We muted her line. I got to turn that back on so she can join in on that. But I do get a little concerned about the compliance part of that. But, you know, you just have to set up boundaries on that. But real quickly, then we got to wrap this up.
Well, the last comment that I would say, and I agree with you, I do this personally myself. Again, we're not saying they're doing the loan file, okay? And
right.
I'm sure that's not what you're having your people do. But what I have,
right.
I also do the same thing. I happen to use Fiverr, and I use them for
Fiverr,
everything.
Fiverr, I love it,
Yeah, Fiverr is great. The highly skilled professionals across the world, and I use them from the marketing standpoint, and that should be part of, you know, an essence every originator should think about, you know, in other words, instead of looking for your lender to support a marketing person, maybe it's time for you to think about using a third party. And the skill sets, I'm sure you found the same thing, is just terrific.
We could go on and on in this discussion and go on real quickly. Alice, do you have any last-minute comments or questions?
No, I think you touched a little bit on it, you know, with where the industry's going with the artificial intelligence. I think the other thing, too, is the data that everybody's collecting about the consumer shopping habits. And that's really going to be another area that opens up in a vast way just in the next few years, as you mentioned, with all the change. So, you know, for LOs out there, I guess you need to make sure you're at a company that is embracing those technologies.
That's such a broad, broad topic, and we probably need to come back onto it. We're getting a ton of questions, but we're out of time to deal with that. But good points that you highlight, Alice, is that data, that's what Black Knight's really focusing in on. They're really doubling down on that. And you say, well, that's for big companies. You know, first of all, start with data on LinkedIn. Get your LinkedIn profile up. Get that data up there. Start playing with that data, for example. And then, Andy, before we wrap this one, put a wrap on this one, what you got, thoughts, reflections on this podcast today?
Well, I'm thankful for Pat for being on the show and talking about all of these very essential points. And I guess my walk-away point would be it's not easy, and it's a change. And unless you deal with the C players, they're going to pull you down into the ground. You can't spend your time focusing on C players. You've got to focus on your B players and get them up to A players. And then it's just, I hate to say it, we don't have the bandwidth to carry the weight. It's got to be mean, efficient, focused, driving constantly every single day. And you just can't, you're going to have to fire some people you don't want to fire, but you can't carry them anymore.
Right.
Yep. It's a reality. It's a new reality. Produce or perish. Anyway, so good to have you with us,
Pat. What's funny about that, Dave, is that you've been saying that for 40 years. That's not
I know.
New. But people
That's
still
not new.
Don't. I know. Interesting.
It's behind. It's the hardest thing because you get wrapped in. I know their wife. I know their kids. I know. I like them. I really like them. And I'm working with a client right now. He says, I've got a single mom that just only wants to do one loan a month. Dave, are you telling me I should fire her for that? I said, well, have you done a cost analysis? I quote Andy Schell. Do you listen to the profit doctor said, because do you have any idea the intrinsic cost that goes into that one producer producing one loan? I understand it. Get or need. But she may not be right for you because do you even know the cost? It's supporting that one person. They go, they get that, as we say in Texas, a calf in a new pen look. They just bat their eyes at you like, I don't understand what you're saying. So there's a whole lot on this topic. Pat, thanks so much for being here. Andy, Alice, appreciate you participating in the Hot Topic segment. I just love you guys regulars being in on it all the time. But Pat, it's always good to have you here. We got to have you back again, and will. Anything that comes up in the origination space, you call us. Go to hold them. The program director, Paul, we'll get you back on schedule again. But this has been a great segment once again. Hope everyone shares this with their group. And producer Parrish, get out there. Get above that number. What's that magical number? Here's a text that just came in. Dave asked Pat real quickly, what is the magical number? Someone should perish if they don't produce X number of loans. What are you seeing some kind of standard out there?
Well, Andy certainly can talk about it, but certainly what I would tell you is you take your break-even point and what is your profit margin, and then that's how you do the equation. But I will tell you, typically within mortgage banking, that you're not making any money unless you're doing 4 units per loan officer.
That's what I've been saying. Yep, yep. If they're not producing 4 units a month, you're losing money.
That's right. A lousy cause. So that's, take a look at, go run your production report, listeners, and mortgage executives. How many people are below four loans a month? It'll shock you. One company
will
says,
shock
oh, my God,
you. How many are below two units a month?
I know.
That's a lot.
Know.
There's a lot of them,
and
too.
Drives me nuts. Okay. Anyways, good podcast today. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Next week, we've got Les Parker with his predictions on 2019. You're going to want to listen to those. Some real interesting strategies about profiting in this kind of volatile market. Every secondary market person, everyone should listen to that. It's going to be really, really good. Special thank you goes out to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, and our friends at Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and we're adding more sponsors. If you want to become a sponsor, get to the website, get a hold of Paul. Love to figure out how to get you on. Appreciate you being here, everyone. Have a great week. See you next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.